continue to support this part of your ministry with their prayer support, their volunteer support, and especially their financial support. We pray, Lord God, that you would continue to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon each of them, that they won't even have room enough to receive it. We pray that you bless them in their coming out and in their going in. Bless their bodies, Lord God, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Bless their homes, Lord God. Bless their vehicles. Bless their families, Lord Jesus, according to your divine will, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you would just multiply, Lord God, the gifts in their hands that they might have, Lord God, everything that they need, Lord God, and that you will continue, Lord God, to watch over and protect each one that has a heart to serve in this ministry, Lord God. We just thank you for them, and we pray that your blessings will overtake and surround each one. We ask and receive it, and thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have made your envelopes out and you want to give them to the sanctuary support, yeah, they're here, and they're here to service you. Amen. Amen. Some of us give online, but some of us have our envelopes readily available, so we want to take this time to receive your gifts and pray God's blessings upon you. Amen. Amen. One of the things that I'd like to do also today, and if the Lord helps me to remember, is at the end of service, I'm going to go down to the door and I'll pronounce our blessing over us at the door, and then I just like to meet you as you leave. Greet you as you leave. Is that all right? Yeah. Amen. I just want to be able to touch. Thank you. Thank you. So we are going to be doing this every week, so you can be prepared when we, after we pray for the givers, we want to let you know you can pass your offering if you have it ready. You can pass it down the aisles in the sanctuary support. We'll collect it. All right? Amen. Come have a new growth experience. Change is good. This is the place to change. Amen? Amen. So we will be pronouncing our blessing upon our congregation when I'm at their door, so I can just touch. Because touch, talent, and treasure, I just want to put a touch on that. Amen? Amen. It's good to fellowship. It's good to fellowship. Amen. I was reading something, was it this morning or recently, and it was talking about a noted author, and he said something like, if I can remember correctly, he who has himself for a teacher has a fool for a pupil. Amen. So I'm thankful for godly wisdom and godly advice. And I am a person, I believe I am a person that does not mind taking godly wisdom and godly advice. Amen? All right. Brief word of prayer before we share what we believe the Lord has given us to share. Lord, you formed me out of clay, and for your glory I was made. So I'm asking that you would use this vessel in this moment, Lord, as you choose. And Lord, let my life, let it praise you. We're asking for clarity of thought, clarity of speech, that you would speak to us, speak through us, and speak to those that will have an ear to hear what your spirit has to say to the church. And Lord, most of all, help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Save somebody today by the preaching of your word. Fill somebody with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost by the preaching of your word. Set captives free, restore and revive by the preaching of your word. And we'll be careful to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Walk with me this morning to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. And I like to go to verse number 6. Just a background of Isaiah chapter number 6. There are quite a few of us who are familiar with this chapter and this passage. This is the chapter where Isaiah gets a vision of God. And he relates this vision and connects it with an historical event that when the king died, the king Uzziah, he said, when in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And he said he saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the whole temple. And upon seeing that vision of God, he took a look at himself and he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. It's interesting to observe the response of the prophet Isaiah when he gets a vision of God. It hits my mind to think about how things change when we get a good look at God. A good look at God can change our whole attitude. A good, clear look at God can change the direction of our entire life. When we see and recognize just how holy and righteous God is, how powerful, how excellent, and how majestic God is, when we have an opportunity to get into the very presence of God, there's a certain percentage of a sense of woe, because we know that we are in the presence of the Holy God. As I was looking at this last week, I kind of looked at verse number 6 as a place to begin, because there's something that takes place here. And I have the Amplified Classic of the Bible. You can follow along in any version that you have. I'm reading verse 6 of Isaiah 6. Then flew one of the seraphim, heavenly beings, to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. Verse 7, and with it he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity and guilt are taken away, and your sin is completely atoned for and forgiven. Verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people, hear and hear continually, but understand not, and see continually, but do not apprehend with your mind. The thought that I believe the Lord gave me to share is simply called cleansed and sent, called, cleansed, and sent. Here we see the encounter again that the prophet Isaiah had with God, and we see one of the wonderful things about God is nobody can tell God what to do. And God, being sovereign, he acts according to his own divine will. And it was here at this particular time that God chose in his power and in his sovereignty to cleanse this prophet by this method. He had a seraphim, a heavenly being, take one of the coals from off the altar and touched his mouth. And he said, it touched his lips, and he said, your iniquity and guilt are taken away, and your sin is completely atoned for and forgiven. See, when Isaiah got into the presence of God again, he didn't come on his own merit. He understood, because he proclaimed, woe is me, I'm undone. So he was confessing his shortcoming and his sin. He was in a position where he needed to be cleansed, and it was only an act of God that would allow this process to take place. So here, when this seraphim, under the direction of God, took the tongue and took that coal and put it on and touched his lip, again, God doing what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, he took away the guilt and the iniquity of Isaiah, and he said, your sin is completely atoned for. That was a great thing. So God had to call again this prophet, and he was prophesying in the first five chapters, but here in the sixth chapter, we see this event happening. And God asked a question, the Lord asked a question, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah, having been freed from his guilt, Isaiah having been freed from his iniquity, having his iniquity taken away, having been completely atoned for and forgiven, his reply was, here am I, send me. My mind thinks about the great call that we have initially on our life. And the call that we have initially on our life is a call to salvation. The call that we have on our life is to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we know from the word of God that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And we understand that the reason that we must share and declare this gospel message that Jesus saves is so that many will hear and many will have an opportunity to receive the salvation that Jesus Christ has secured for all mankind. Once we get the call, we have to obey the call of salvation. There's often times where people hear the gospel message preached and they don't respond to the call. You know, they might be moved in their emotion, or they might be moved in their mind, and they might even feel a sense of appeasement because they went to a church building and they participated in the clapping of the hands, and they even sang some of the songs that they knew. But when the call goes out to receive salvation, when the call goes out to repent of their sins, when the call goes out to have a change of heart, a change of mind, or a change of direction, they sit in whatever location of whatever church that they happen to be in and do not respond to the call. But if you respond to the call, you will get up out of your seat. That's what we did. We got up out of our seat, whatever seat we were sitting in, and we went to the altar because we believed what God was speaking through whomever the vessel God chose to use at that particular time. And one of the wonderful things about our great God is God will send us faith. He will send an individual faith to believe the message of the gospel because God is aware of everything that's going on in everybody's life. I'm talking about saved and unsaved. God is aware that every human being is under the attack of the enemy of all human beings, and the enemy of all human beings is not white, black, or whatever. The enemy of all human beings is Satan himself. And God is aware that Satan himself is increasing the attack on the entire of humanity because he knows what God has promised in his word, and he knows that the Lord is soon to come for his church and ransom, catch away his people to be with him throughout eternity. So he's trying to keep those who have not yet answered the call. The enemy is trying to keep you distracted. He's trying to keep you otherwise interested and occupied, to let you think that you have time, or to let you think from a humanistic perspective and say, as long as I do this, that, and the other, I think I might be all right. Listen, your list, our list that we can manufacture and come up with, is not able to stand the standard and the test of the word of God. I hear Jesus said in one place in his public ministry, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So God doesn't want any human being to die in their sins. That's why he came as Jesus Christ. He came and he lived the life before all of mankind that was pleasing to God. And he laid down that life on the cross of Calvary with his arms outstretched on that cross. It was like an arm, an open arm of invitation that whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will take value and believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for all mankind, no matter what your race, no matter what your ethnicity, no matter what your tradition, no matter what your culture, Jesus stretched himself out there on that cross so that men and women, boys and girls could receive salvation. And that call is still going forth today. I thank God that he's still calling people unto him. I thank God that he's still using us as a congregation of people, as a part of the bride of Christ, to win men and women unto him. So when God cleansed Isaiah, see, you really can't do a work for God until you first accept the call of God and allow God to clean you up. Aren't you glad that you repented of your sins? Aren't you glad that you went down in a watery grave somewhere and you got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, it cleanses us, it cleans us from all unrighteousness? And since we have faith in the sacrifice that God provided, we have faith faith in that blood, and we put our faith in action. And God, in his grace, God, in his mercy, he gave us a clean slate. Glory. Hallelujah. Now, I just want to say something. You might not have the past that I had, and I might not have the past that you had. But all of us were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So I don't have to compare my sin rap sheet with your sin rap sheet, because we was all born in sin and we was on our way to be eternally excluded from the presence of God. So just because my testimony might not be your testimony and your testimony might not be mine, don't you feel bad and don't you feel that you ain't live nothing. Thank God if you didn't go through some of the things that some of us went through. You ought to give God praise, but that does not diminish the value of what God has done for you, because sin is sin no matter what the symptom is. So the next time somebody tell you, oh, you ain't done nothing, listen, yes I did. I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and the same grace that God gives to the whoremonger, the same grace that God gives to the drug dealer, the same grace that God gives to the pimp and the prostitute, the same grace that God gives to the gambler, is the same grace that God gives to those of us who were born physically in the church. We have to be born again. So away with the comparison of our rap sheet. Listen, our past is nothing for us to brag about. Our past is nothing for us to boast about. But one thing we can boast about is that one day we heard the call of Jesus Christ. One day, whether we were in a church or whether we were in a pool room, whether we were in a service or whether we were in a dice game, it don't matter, because God's arm is strong, and his strong arm brought us salvation, and we heeded to the call, and we got to somebody's church. No matter where we were, we got to a church, and they talked to us, and they told us we had to repent. We didn't argue. Listen, when you answer the voice of God for salvation, when you answer the call for God, you don't have a whole lot of argument, because you realize how good God is, and you realize that you could have been dead in your sins, and you realize that God poured his love and his grace and his mercy upon you, so you don't have a whole lot of questions and why I gotta do this and why I gotta do that. You might have one question: what must I do to be saved? And thank God he had faithful men and women on the day that we received this great salvation that talked to us, spent time with us, and expounded the scriptures to us. All we knew at that time, well, all I knew was I want to be saved. All I knew is that I'm tired of living the way that I am living. And God, he allowed me to hear about this glorious gospel. He allowed us to hear about the only escape plan that God recommended. And the escape plan, you got to go through the door, and the door is none other than Jesus Christ. If you want to escape the wrath of God that is to come, you got to find the right exit. You got to find, if you will, the fire exit. If you look around in the sanctuary, there are exits. There are many exits. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Listen, but if you want to escape the flames of hell, if you want to escape the wrath of God, there is only one exit. You don't have a whole lot of options. You don't have a whole lot of choices. You got to go through the right door, and the door is Jesus Christ. Thank God for the call of salvation. Listen, after God cleaned up Isaiah, he cleansed him, and he asked, who will I send, and who will go for us? Then Isaiah opened up his mouth in the very presence of God, and this is what he said: here am I, send me. And can I bring something back to your memory? That's what you said in essence when God filled you with the Holy Ghost. It was something you had a conversation with God while God was speaking out of you in an unknown tongue. I imagine you made a covenant with God, and it was like the covenant that I made. God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. God is still declaring through this living word, whom shall I send and who will go for us? I wonder if we still have a mindset to say, here am I, send me. God, I'll go. We got to be called, and we are called to salvation, and we got to be cleansed. We have been cleansed. We have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. And so we have to give God a here am I, send me. And listen, sometimes God will send us when it's not convenient for us. Oh, yes, he will, because it's not according to our schedule. It's not according to our agenda, but it's according to the schedule and the agenda and the purpose of God. You don't know how many people that God has planned out for you to reach with the words of life. So we got to make up in our minds that we're going to give God every day that he allows us to see, and look at what God does every day. He blesses us. He sends us. He downloads new mercies morning by morning. New mercies I see. So what are we going to do with the new mercies? We ought to have God in our hearts and in our minds. And we ought to be able to say, not only with our mouth, but with our heart and with our actions, here am I, send me. And he said to Isaiah, go and tell this people here and here continually, but understand not, and see continually, but do not apprehend with your mind. That's why we got to keep preaching, because some people don't get it the first time. Some people don't get it the second time. Some don't get it for a year or two. But we got to keep preaching this gospel. We got to keep declaring that Jesus saves. So I want to run now to the book of Luke, 10th chapter. Glory, hallelujah. And verse number 1. Now after this, the Lord chose and appointed 70 others. What did he do? He sent them out ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to come, about to visit. God is in the business of sending people out. God did not save us to have us seated. God saved us to send us out to the highways and the hedges, and to compel men and women to come into the saving arms of God. Here's what he said in verse 2. And he said to them, the harvest indeed is abundant. There is much ripe grain, but the farmhands are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his vineyard. Listen, God recognizes that there is a ripe harvest out there in the world. The harvest in your area, the harvest in your neighborhood, the harvest around the people that you have a certain amount of influence is ripe, but the farmhands or the laborers are few. So the Lord said, you need to pray. We need to pray, therefore, to the Lord of the harvest. God, we need you to send out some laborers into your harvest. And in the sending, let me be one of them that you send out. I don't want to pray and stay. I want to pray and go. Glory, hallelujah. For after we have prayed, we got to put some faith in what we prayed about. We have to be in support of the prayer. So God, I'll pray and I'll go. I won't pray and stay. So then, here's what he said in verse number 3. Go your way. Behold, I send you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. So yes, you're going to have to go to some dangerous territories, but here's something that you got to hold in the front of your mind. I ain't going by myself. Yes, I'm going not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I hear God's word tap me on my shoulder and say, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God, he can lead us anywhere he wants to lead us, because there's some folks in some dangerous areas that needs to be saved, and you just might be the one. And listen, I like what Jesus did with the 70. He sent them 2 by 2. So hook up with somebody. If you have a spouse that's saved, you got your hookup built in. Oh, glory, hallelujah. So hook up in your neighborhood. Hook up in your cafe. Hook up in your favorite restaurant and tell somebody that Jesus still saves. Yes, I know you came here for brunch, but I got a hunch that you need to taste and see that the Lord is good. Listen, we got to be waiters every place we go. What's on the menu today? I'm serving Jesus and him crucified. Listen, what do you have to drink? I want you to be able to drink water out of the well of salvation, because I hear the word of God declare, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Listen, this is better than Arrowhead water. Oh, glory, hallelujah. It's better than Gatorade. It's better than what I like, San Pellegrino. San Pellegrino ain't got nothing on the water of the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believes, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What do you mean, God? Explain that. He was talking about the Holy Ghost that they would receive, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Don't worry, he has already been glorified. The Holy Ghost is here for somebody this morning. All you got to do is latch on by faith and answer the call. Listen, I know sometimes we get scam calls. I know sometimes we get robocalls and we get scam protectors. But don't you dare send up a message when God calls you. Say, I can't talk right now. You need to press on the green dial and open up your heart to the call of Jesus, because he's calling somebody in this house today to receive salvation. And I hear God's word. It done tapped me on my other shoulder. And he said, in the day that you hear his voice, don't you harden your heart. God is calling you. God is ringing the bell in your heart. God is trying to let you know that he loves you and he wants you to be a part of his bride. That's why he sent this bald-head preacher to come and tell you that God loves you. There's nothing that you have done in your life. There's no sin so vile that the blood that Jesus shed won't cleanse you. God, here we
are. Send us. Send us back to our home. You talk about March Madness. Listen, what God want to see is March gladness. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The Bible says that the angels in heaven, they rejoice. You want to start a celebration? You want to cut down a net, if you will. God wants to cut you out of the net of sin. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. And there is a celebration in heaven over one sinner that repents. Answer the call. God's calling you. You feel that tug in your heart. I know you do. God's calling you. He said, how long are you going to sit there with your mind made up? Or maybe next time. Who says you're going to get a next time? Today is the day of salvation. God, oh glory, hallelujah. Let me tell you something about the resurrected Jesus. The resurrected Jesus with his glorified body in the book of John. He breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them. We are living right now under the administration of the Holy Ghost. God has already breathed. He has already breathed. That same breath that he breathed into Adam, and Adam became animated. Adam became a living soul. The resurrected Jesus, God in the flesh with his glorified body, the body that can walk through walls, that's the same one who breathed on the apostles and they received the Holy Ghost. So what are we asking? Breathe, Lord. Breathe, Lord. Breathe. Breathe on those that are hungry for the Holy Ghost. God wants you to have it. He wants you to have it. The breath, we used to sing, let it breathe on me. Let it breathe on me. Let the breath of the Lord now breathe on me. I want God to, don't you want God to breathe in here? I want God to breathe on all of us. Because some need filling and some need refreshing. But the breath of God can do it all. Breathe, God. Breathe, God. Breathe, God. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. It started as a rushing mighty wind. We need the wind of God. We need the wind of God to blow fresh the breath of God. The wind bloweth, the Bible said, where it listeth. That means God does what he wants to do. God sends his Holy Ghost. He sends his Spirit into the atmosphere. So we have a part, y'all, in setting an atmosphere where the wind of God can fall fresh. What were they doing on the day of Pentecost? They were in one place. Okay, good. Here we are in one place. They had one mind. That's what we got to do. We got to get with one mind and one accord. And they were praising God. God, he sits enthroned on the praises of his people. So I can imagine that if we praise God collectively with one purpose, he will be pleased to dwell among us. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house, oh glory, where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. What did it do? It sat on each of them. God, let your wind sit on each of it almost on us. And they were, watch. Oh, there's that word. They were all filled. Oh, we don't want to have filling. They were all filled. Every section of the upper room, all of them were filled. No matter where they were sitting, the ones sitting in the front got filled, and the ones sitting in the back got filled. That's what we want. We want all to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When you answer the call, you'll get it all. If you really answer the call, you're going to get it all. Some people get the Holy Ghost before they even go to the water. Because in their heart, they answer the call. They answer the call.
Let it breathe.
Yes.
On me.
So now,
let it breathe.
The altar is
on
open.
Me.
Anybody,
let the breath
that wants this salvation
the Lord
that Jesus has provided, the altar is open.
Let it
God's here for you. He's calling you. You know He's been calling you.
Let it
He's here for you.